Thanks for listening to Adulting is Easy podcast, where we make adulting easier by making money easier. This is your host, Lauren. And I'm joined today by Divine Bethia, a systems engineer living in Arizona. He decided to get his life together about 2 years ago at the age of 30. That means paying off debt and getting in control of his spending. So far, Divine has paid off $40,000 of debt, and he's set to pay off another $40,000 of debt this year. He writes about finance, fitness, and fatherhood because he wants to show how millennial dads can invest in themselves and their families. Thanks for joining me, Divine.
Hey, happy to be here. Hey, that was good. Yeah, I can tell you've been doing this 100 plus episodes. I see it.
Thank you for saying that.
You got the whole podcast voice down and everything. But anyway,
just keep the compliments coming. I will take them all.
Hold on. I don't want no problems.
All right. Our goal for today is to make adulting easier for listeners by discussing a personal finance topic, since managing money is a big part of adulting. So today, Divine, we're going to talk about paying off debt. Yes. I got to ask, though, why did you decide to get your life together? What happened?
Really more like I got tired of tired of being tired, really. And I decided that I always had in my head that I wanted to be done working by 45, like at the latest 50. Like, I don't want to have to work anymore, you know, like, because I've seen people growing up, like, working literally till they die, like, because they had to. They had no choice not having money growing up and stuff like that. And I was like, you know what? I don't want to work forever. And I want, you know, I want to be able to enjoy my kids and enjoy my wife at a relatively, you know, young age. So I don't want to be like 65, 70 now trying to enjoy time with my kids and grandkids and my wife. I'm like, I feel like 45, 50. It's good, you know. So I'm still not young, but I'm not older. You know, I can still move around, hopefully, and whatnot. And then, like, you know, like, in 65, who's to say I'm even going to make it to 65 and, you know, what my body's going to look like or how it's going to break down or whatever. So I was like, you know what, let's do it now. Give myself 15 years and just hit it hard, you know. So stop playing. Hey, I'd have my fun years, so to speak. So.
What did becoming an engineer have to do with that plan? Was it part of it?
Yes, at an early age, I'm adopted. So my mom or whatnot, she only did like maybe a semester of school. So she knew education was important or whatnot. And me, she was like, you're going to go to college or whatever. I didn't really know. But then my cousin, he went to school for computer science, and I always looked up to him since I was a young age. So I was like, all right, let me do that. Like, I didn't really understand, like, because at first I thought I wanted to be a veterinarian. But then, like, of course, he was like, I don't think veterinarians make money. Or he was like, you know, something of the sort. He was like, just go towards computers, because he knew, like, I broke apart of computers, put computers back together. Like, that's around the time, like, high school, like, the iPhone was going out, like, coming out, like, 08, 09, whatever. And I was, like, you know, going through trying to understand how the apps work. He was like, yeah, definitely go to school, because I first wanted to do computer engineering, but the school only had computer science, so I did it that way. And then I didn't understand until, like, my second year that, oh, trajectory of money, like, how much you could make as a computer scientist. I was like, oh, it's over. Like, I mean, I knew I had to graduate because I didn't have nowhere to go. Like, my goal was like, I'm from Alabama. So it was like, I got to get out of this small town. All right, let me go to college. I got to get out of Alabama as a whole. Nothing wrong in Alabama, but there's more opportunities elsewhere, you know? So that was my whole goal. And then once I figured out, like, I had my first internship after my sophomore year, and I was great. I was only making $15 an hour, right? So I was like, oh my God, this is a lot of money for me. Like, I'm like, and I was staying with my cousin, and I was like, I didn't really have to pay anything. I had saved up like $6,000. I was like, oh, in a summer? Oh, this is great. You know? So after that, I was just focused on, okay, graduate, any means necessary. And like, I understand I can make money. And then I looked into DOD, because I noticed most of our money as America, like, goes towards DOD. So I was like, okay, that's job security in a way. And I'm country Alabama. I'm like, I can work in air conditioning. That's fine. I worked on a farm, you know, my young years. I'm like, well, hey, I can work in the air conditioning. It's going to be great. So
I love that attitude.
That's how it, you know, how it ended up for me. So I was like,
So out of school, you're making good money, But yeah. That didn't keep you from getting in debt. And I think this is something that people struggle with a lot. They think, oh, if I just made a lot of money, I wouldn't have any debt. But that's not how it went. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So fresh out, like I was good for, I mean, of course I had student loans or whatever, and I had a car given to me, like 02 Mitsubishi Galant, but I only had it for two more, maybe a year or two after college, but I needed another car. So of course I got that. And then I got this credit card, and it was like, oh yeah, you got like $15,000. I'm like, $15,000? Let's go. What can I, hey, you know, I make $62,500. Like, what's up? Like, I can pay this off, whatever. Like, I knew about, like, my first day of work, though, let me go back. I knew about investing or whatever, getting a 401k match. So I made sure I went ahead and got that first. So, like, I was like, oh, I'm saving up anyway. I don't, you know, I could keep $1,000 of my savings and I'm good. Like, what emergency is going to hit me? Because, you know, I didn't have kids at the time. So, yeah, I was like, I'll pay it off whenever. Like, it was, I think the only difference with me is that I could have been paid this off. It's more like I didn't really care to. You know what I'm saying? It's like I've always saved, always had money like stashed away. It was just like I didn't want to. And then like when all of this isn't necessarily mine, but I'm married to my wife now, so I'm going to include ours, you know, because that's how we do our finances. Like, so, and then plus I don't need no smoke on her or whatever. So I'm going to take the blame for a lot of the debt, even though not all mine, but yeah, I really only had like two credit cards. Like one was like 15K and another was like 7K. So
okay, so you're the two credit cards, the student loans and the car loan. Is that what it looked like when you were 30 and started trying to get your financial life together?
Well, actually, yeah, at 30, yeah, it was the student loans, car loan, and then mostly credit cards. Like it was extra credit cards that my wife had or whatnot. So that was like a majority. And then, of course, the car loan. And so that's we had two cars at the time. Well, we still have two cars, but two car loans at the time, credit cards mostly, and like student loans and the mortgage. That's really what it was. It.
But you are saving for retirement. And I think what you said there is key. A lot of people think, this is, I guess, an opinion. I haven't seen a study on this, but this is just a vibe that I get. That people think that, okay, if my company matches 4% and I put in 4%, that's like the suggested amount. Like if I'm doing that, then I will be able to retire. And that's not really it, right? Like there's a lot of things that retirement depends on, but I think a lot of people think, check, I'm done. I'm saving for retirement. And that's going to be enough.
Yeah. Cause I was doing like, cause I was reading somewhere that at least 15% of your income. I was like, okay, fine. That's great. I was like, I'm doing 8%, and then they match me with 6%. Oh, this is golden. Let's go. Like, you know, so I was like, you know, this is great. I can do whatever I want now. Like, you know, like I was like, real estate, people do that? Like people, you know, sell, I mean, like, you know, rent out homes. I didn't really understand all that. Like, I was like, I know about stocks. Let me just do that. Like index funds. I ain't about to pick nothing. Index funds, that's it. Like, so. But yeah, by the time I got 30, I was like, man, like we done racked up a lot. Like, you know, even though because I already had like 20K saved, you know, not including like what's in my retirement, probably right now is like 100 in the retirement. So I'm just like, yeah, I think we need to go ahead and knock this out because like the interest rates or whatever. And then like, what really like helped. Okay, well, I'm not going to go there, but I'm going to say what really, really helped, though, was just changing my mindset, really. I talk about that a lot. Like, I was always reading the books. I've always been a reader. I'm a nerd. So I'm always reading and always understand. So I understood the concept or whatnot, but literally, I just did not want to. Like even my wife was like, what are you, like, you ain't paying. I'm like, what's the minimum? It's fine. I always went back to I got retirement. I got that retirement, baby. 65,
which is good. I mean, that's good. I mean, I've done a handful. I don't know how many episodes on debt at this point. And that a lot of people, they don't have that. When they realize that they're in debt, they actually like are in debt and it's like purely negative and there's no positive side to that balance sheet. So I don't want to minimize that. It is good that you had that side going on. But I wanted to ask about the interest rates specifically. So what were the interest rates on your debt?
I know it was mostly around like 20%. I know my car loan was 6% because we got it through Navy Federal because our brother-in-law, whatever. And then the student loans, after I everything was like 5.2%. The mortgage, 3.125%. So that's how much that was. But I know the credit cards, at least my Navy Federal one was 16%. Hers was like 18%. And anywhere between 18 and like 24, 25%. So what I did was I was like, okay, that's eating at March. Like, that's eating away, you know, at our money. Like, we need to be able to, like, at least consolidate it. But I was reading, like, a lot of times when people consolidate, they end up spending up that money on the credit cards, right? So I was like, all right, cool. What I did was I was like, I'm going to get a consolidation loan. And I told my wife, look, take my cards. Granted, I know at this point, I know, like, once I get focused, it's over. Like, I'm almost to the point, to my detriment, like, we're not eating out. Like, we're like, we got kids. Like, we're never going anywhere. What's a vacation? We're not going to do it. Like, we need to save this money. Granted, by the way, she doesn't have a actual, like, she has a job, like, but it's not she's an entrepreneur. So she's social media influencer. And then, like, also she sells t-shirts. So it's like her money is like ebbs and flows, right? So she was really dependent on me to make sure I have the consistent income. So to add some interest rate, we got a best egg loan for like personal for like 13% for like 40K of it. So for those like 2 years in 2022. So I was like, okay, let me go hard on here with my 20K at it. And then the next 20, I can go ahead and knock that out, you know, within the next year or so or whatever. So that's what basically we boiled it down to. So.
Yeah. So what could have happened there is you could have taken the personal loan at 13% and not paid the credit cards off.
Yep. I read just, that like, so like, much. Like
that's the problem. Right. And some people do this with home equity lines of credit too, or refinancing their home. I mean, for so long, interest rates were so low on that. And then they're like, okay, no problem. I'm going to do that. And then I'm going to pay off my credit cards. And then maybe they do that, but then they run their credit cards up again. So now they have this extra loan on their house and they have this extra loan on the credit cards. Like, that's the point of you have to have the mindset shift. I don't think you need to eat only rice and beans and never go on vacation necessarily.
No, my wife stopped me on that. Like, she was like, no, I have beans and rice all my life. We're not about to do this. Like, so she's like, I always been like a spreadsheet nerd or whatever. So I knew how much we had each. At the end of the month, we always had $1,100, $1,200 at the end of the month to, you know, spend on food and gas for the car. Cause like, that was the only two things that was like up and down. But like, she mostly cooked, so that was fine. But she was like, hey, I want to go out to Cheesecake Factory. We still want to do date nights and stuff like that. So I was like, all right, you still got the money saved up. But shit, that worst case scenario, you can take the money out your Roth, like some of your Roth IRAs that's like non, that you didn't, you know, that you already put in, you can take that out and then just use that if stuff really hit the fan and you really need cash. Like, I was like, yeah, I didn't even think about that. She was like, yeah, not necessarily the 401k, but the Roth part where you can't, granted, you don't want to, but like in worst case scenario, like, you can do that. Like, calm down. When we have a couple thousand, you know, saved up, like, and like, the only time that really got bad with emergency funds was last year. But I had went ahead and saved up like 10K, but a lot of things started happening with like the car, my daughter's in and out of the hospital, like things of that nature. So, but yeah, it was like a lot of emergencies that started happening out of nowhere. But like I said, it was the mind shift.
So I want to dive in a little bit to what you were saying there about being able to take the principal out of your Roth. And you can do that as long as you've had the account for 5 years and it's money you've put in. It's post-tax anyways, so you can take it back out. Not an ideal situation, not a good plan A emergency fund. And this is something that I've been like batting this idea around in my head, like this idea of like the emergency fund to the emergency fund, right? Like, you can have like your regular emergency fund, but if you have other forms of net worth that you can fall back on, and this must be what like the truly wealthy do. I can't imagine they're out there spending millions of dollars a year, keeping 3 to 6 months living expenses in cash. Yeah, I just think they're probably not doing that, right? Like they know that they have these other forms of net worth that they can fall back on. So I don't think your Roth or even a 401k loan or anything like that should be plan A, but I think it's okay to recognize what levers you can pull. Also, I think that makes it easier to put the money into the Roth, You're like, yeah, this isn't actually gone forever. If I really, really need it, I can get it, right?
That's one of the biggest gripes I have whenever I tell my friends or just somebody I'm talking to. They was like, my money's going to be gone forever. I'm like, it's literally not. Like, what are you talking about? It's right there. Like, I see it. Like, and that's what, that was the best thing about having Mint. Now they no longer have Mint or whatnot. But I had Mint, and like, I was like, okay, my 401, my Empower, my, you know, Navy Fed, whatever other accounts, like, it was like, oh, this is crazy. Net worth 50K, let's go, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know many people that got 50K at, like, you know, at 30. Like, what are you talking about? I get on Twitter, I'm like, oh, I ain't hanging around the right people.
So,
like, if I was hanging around the right people,
Yeah, I mean, okay, sure. You're the average of the five people you spend the most time with, and that's true. But we don't want to do too much comparing, right? Like, we need to remember that positive net worth in this country is like a great thing. Like, 50K for anybody is a great thing. Yes, you go on Money Twitter and you get in a kind of a weird echo chamber situation where everybody's worth multiple millions of dollars in their
30s.
And that is
crazy.
Unusual. Just like, it's, you start to think, like, and if people are going to compare themselves, I want them to see those people as aspirational. I don't want them to compare themselves and then start feeling bad about themselves, like they should be there. That's a huge deal too, I think. So I wanted to ask a nitty gritty question about actually with the debt that you're paying off. What method are you using in terms of, I know you mentioned earlier, Dave Ramsey, are you using Avalanche or Snowball? How are you choosing which debts to pay off first?
So at first I was doing Snowball, but I was like, I already had a mindset. And like, I'm looking at AP, you know, the interest rates. So I'm just like, let me knock out the ones with the highest interest rate, you know? So I was like, let me just focus on that. So since I said I consolidated that 40, whatever, knocked it out, I was like, the highest interest rate, that's basically the Avalanche method. That's basically how I do it. Like, it might take a little, I think it might take actually less time because of knocking out the highest interest rate, but it might take, it might feel like forever though. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, especially you got a big loan, you're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
So like at first, you know, the more you're in the student loans, I'm not really worried about it because they're less than 6%, whatever, that's fine. But like the credit cards and the car, like even the car, like at 6%, I'm like, okay, let's focus on all the credit cards. Like, let's knock these out. So yeah.
Yep, that's smart. So before you started working on the debt, how much money every month was going towards those debt payments?
Oh, Jesus. Don't let me lie to you. Like, you know, I do not want to lie. I want to say maybe 1,500, 1,800.
Okay.
When you pay those,
and then now you've got, I would assume, more going towards debt than you did then. Eventually, that's going to be less, right? Like, that's the idea.
Yeah.
Like, that's the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole point. That's why I'm still using the Snowball with the Avalanche. Because, like, what I'm doing, like, right now, it's, like, the way I have it set up, like, I do the minimum. But everything above, like, my wife hates this. She hates the way I do it. Like, it's, like, everything above 10K, like, outside of end of the month, after we done paid everything, anything above 10K, I'm finding that highest interest, and I'm just shooting it. Like, I done paid the minimum already because I built that into, like, our monthly whatever. We pay our monthly bills, like, on the first or second, pay everything off. Then by the end of that month, we just like, okay, how much do we have left? All right. Everything above 10, we shipping it. Like, so that's why I was like, don't let me lie to you. Like, I really don't know how much because I was throwing so much. I was doing Ship. I was doing eBay. Like, now I'm doing Amazon, like, reselling. Like, because I wanted to make sure whatever I did, because Ship kind of like tiresome because I had off Friday. So I was doing that while, you know, my kids was in school or whatever. And like, you know, on Saturdays, but that got too much. And then it really wasn't like worth it. You know what I'm saying? Like at first it was, I could make like 250 in a weekend, but then like more people doing it, because I get, you know, easier job to get into. I started making less and less. So I started doing like eBay flipping, which, you know, that started to do too much because I was, you know, going to the garage sales all the time and everything like that. That was still taking away time from the family. So the next two things I started looking at was Amazon. So I started doing that because I could do Amazon OA. I could look online for the sales and, you know, use certain tools to see, okay, this is selling for less. I can sell it for more on Amazon and, you know, do it that way. And I was doing freelance writing. So pitching content, I can do that at the house. Like I said, I still want to be, I want to still be around like my kids and everything of that nature. So, and what also helped was my promotion. I got promoted a year and a half ago. And then literally this March, I got another promotion, like 45% more and 40K sign-on bonus. And, and they gave me like another 20K just for like moving. And granted, they moved my house, but like just to find somewhere to live. But we had already figured out where to live, so it was fine. So literally, that's what I'm like, of course, after taxes, like I have to do all that. But after that, I was like, oh yeah, we can knock this out this year. Oh, it's over. Like, you can't tell me nothing. Like, and we can still, like, it's our 5-year anniversary, so she wants to go to Jamaica or whatever. So we can still do our vacation. Cash, don't play with me. Like, we can still do that. We can pay off all our credit cards, like everything this year. So I think what stayed was actually working at work and looking for, like, because I've been with the same company for 8 years. I was like, I'm a company man. Like, you know, I'm down for it. My wife was like, these people have been contacting you for years, like the last 3 or 4 years. And she's like, just see what happens. Yeah. So I did my interview, whatever. I'm not thinking nothing of it. 3 days later, I get an interview. I mean, I get an offer.
That's huge. Fun. That's a big deal. And I think a lot of people should be thinking this way. I know it's hard. I worked at a company for 7 years. I kind of plateaued there. It was hard to leave, but I had to, you know, in my case, I sold training, and the training that this company did was 100% in-person training. They had not migrated into the 21st century with, you know, virtual training, and I couldn't do it anymore. Right. And it was hard to leave. And I know that's hard to do, and I don't think you want to hop every year or anything like that, but I don't think there's any harm, like your wife said, in looking around, because look at the impact that can have on your family. Look at the impact that can have on your future. It's crazy what not to look, in my opinion.
Hey, it's Lauren, I'm telling you right now. I was like, I should have been this. I'm kicking myself. I'm like, I said we could have been out. We could have been done.
More money only helps your debt situation and your net worth situation, because you were in the right mindset for it to do that. Like, that is key. And also, I like that we're talking about the income side of things, because a lot of personal finance is focused on cutting cable and don't get coffee. And should you take a look at your expenses periodically? Yeah, make sure it's not getting out of control. Don't like neglect your expenses. But if you can focus on that income side, if you have the right mindset, you can shift your financial trajectory pretty quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, I do also focus on cutting as well, obviously, because that's what I was going to do. But, like, not to my detriment of my family and stuff. Like, we still want to go out, like, at least once or twice a week. You know, like, especially if she's home with the kids, she gets tired of cooking all the time. Maybe I don't want to cook all the time, you know. But, granted, I cook mostly because I know how expensive it is to take a family of five out to eat all the time. I understand that. And, like, even with our insurance jumped up from $250 to, like, $550. We was like, let's shop around. Let's shop around. We found somebody else to get us down to, like, $230, right? So that, like, looking at that definitely, you know, helps. You know what I'm saying? So, like, because I negotiate definitely on my Wi-Fi, the bills of that nature, if it gets too out of hand. But because I was able to save, like, $150. That's, like, an extra almost $2,000 a year, you know. Yeah. But at the same time, like you said, like, increase in income is important while not spending to that increased income. Because I think that's what a lot of people do. It's like, oh, my God, I got this extra money. I'm like, no. And, like, that's what helped me. Like I said in the beginning, I could have paid off because I had another account where I never looked at. I put, like, and I got paid weekly at the time. I'm like, I put, like, $100, $200 a week away, like, not looking at it. I'm like, what are you doing? You know, like, could have been, you know? So
I want to look to the future real quick. Once this is paid off, except for, I think you're right. I'm not an anti-debt person. It's like low interest debt, I think, is okay. I think under 6 is fine. If you keep your student loans, you know, keep the mortgage, you know, hang on to that. And it, you know, are you gonna do that and double down on investing? And what does that look like?
I mean, for me, for sure, definitely double down on investing. I want to get, because with this new company, they only match up to like 3.5%. But I want to at least do the same that I was doing the other company, put 15% away, like at least 15%, or if I could get really aggressive, 50%, like 40, you know, like up to 50, 40%, you know, and not that, you know, and put that into investments, that's, you know, index funds specifically, because I know that for sure. And I eventually, you know, want to have, you was talking about the monthly expenses. I want to have at least 3 to 6 months in the account, because mainly because my wife likes to see it. That's her thing. Like, she's like, I know this is, I'm like, you have access to those accounts, but when I log into my account, I want to see it. I'm like, all right, we can put it in an account. Granted, like, I'm like, okay, make sure we at least put it in an account where we at least earning like 4.5% on. You know what I'm saying? At least something. Like, I don't want to put like 20, 30,000 in our regular savings account and get like 0.001%. At least do that on the Ally Banking or something or whatever, right? So I'm like, we can do that. Like, that's, you know, the first thing after we knock out everything instead of mortgage and student loans. And we're gonna do that. And then I'm gonna do at least 15% with the company. And then outside of that, I'm looking into, like, my whole thing is like cash flow, really. Like, because that's why I'm looking into like boring businesses, like laundromats, like storage units, and maybe even real estate, you know. But, you know, because my whole thing is to, if I can get like cash flow, and then of course building my business and my wife's business, like the freelance writing, because I don't mind working. If I can do it from home, that'd be great, you know, and not as much stress. Like, that'd be good, you know. If I can get an extra 5, 10K a month, you know, because like my whole thing is, at the end of the day, what you really want, well, not, I ain't saying what anybody really, I really want by the time I get to 65 is cash flow. Yes, having 2 million is cool, but if I can't get to it, if I can only pull out a certain amount, it's like, you know, I just like cash flow. So whatever I can like, what type of investments we can do, hopefully a laundromat or storage units, that'd be nice. Or, you know, or building up the freelance, because even building up the freelance writing business, I don't want to like have to work, you know. Like, I mean, I know the storage unit thing and laundromat, you have to work, but I can get an owner operator to help me out in that. Like, with freelance writing, they trust you. You pitching them, they trust you to work. So eventually to invest in other investments. Like, that's our goal for cash flow for sure. I know a lot of people like net worth, not cash flow. I'm just like, listen here, if I got an extra 6K, 7K, 10K a month, I'm happy.
Exactly. I don't really care where that net worth came from. And there's a big difference. 5 million net worth getting 7K a month, 1 million net worth getting 7K a month. That's a big difference of
So,
time and what you
yeah.
have to do to build up that initial net worth. That's why I'm in real estate. I mean, we have stocks too. We have index funds and we have stocks, but the real estate throws
That's
off a
why
lot more money, you know?
you say, see, and you know what? I'm actually gonna get a coaching call with you on that. Like, once we get to that point, like between you and Tom, like, I definitely, you know, I wanna definitely at least talk about it. Like, I don't wanna do the pick your brain for free type thing. I'm definitely gonna pay for the coaching call. So, you know, we're gonna go back to that, you know, because I don't believe nothing is for free. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's why, like, for everybody to know, you know, Miss Lauren, she actually followed me on Twitter, and I was too ecstatic. I didn't know what to do. Like, you know, I was like, no, you following little old me. Like, it meant a lot to me. You know, I follow bigger accounts or whatever, but I never like dive in the DMs, because I don't really have anything to offer, and two, like, I don't want anything. Like, y'all tweets are enough for me. Like, Brennan, Tom, yours, like, tweets are enough for me to be like, okay, I know what to do. You know what I'm saying? Like, a budget bill, like, it's like, I already know. It's like, all right, I just focused on that. Like, for me, I'm like, I just focused on somebody who's already done it. You know what I'm saying? I was like, okay, it took them 17 years, you know, maybe 15 to do it. That's okay. If I can do what they did for the next 15 years of my life, I can have what they have. You know, that's why, like you
Absolutely.
said, like, comparing myself in that matter, you know, not necessarily like competition or oh my God, I'm angry. They got more than me. Like, no, get to work. I got the income. I got the resources. I just need to do what they did. Like, yes, it's a different landscape. Yes, I can, you know, might have to have more money to get into real estate or whatever, but it's like, I can find out how they did it. And they, y'all show it all the time. So do your podcast and everything.
Well, and you are that for others too. Don't forget, you're further down the path than some people. So you have, nobody listening to this podcast thinks Divine doesn't have a lot to offer. I promise you that.
Well, that's, hey, you know what? That's one thing I should definitely look at, Nick. I never look at myself like that.
Well, speaking of all this social media stuff, why don't you let people know how they can follow you and get in touch with you?
Okay. Well, on Instagram is Divine Bethea, Bethea, like, and for Medium, like the Medium writing or whatever, it kind of is Divine Bethea. And also on Twitter, with Twitter is Divine Bethea. At first, I have a website called The Wealth Building Dad. Mind you, I wasn't on Twitter before, okay? So let me go ahead and put this out in the air. Like, I had Wealth Building Dad on Twitter and everything. I was like, I already got my website or whatever. And then I get on the website and I'm like, who's this other guy? Who's this other Wealth Building Dad? Like, wait a minute. That's what happens when you don't do marketing research and you just go.
So yeah, tell me about it. I mean, that's how I end. That's how my website's Real Adulting Is Easy, and my Twitter's Adulting Is Easy, because you know, I started on Twitter.
Oh man! So that's why I changed everything to just my name. So you type my name into like Instagram, Medium, Twitter, or the only one that's not different is my actual website where I post blogs, like The Wealth Building Dad. .com. So that's how you can get in touch with me. That's how you can find me. You know, like, hey, follow me on Twitter. I follow back. I definitely reply if you talk about the right thing. You know, like, it's all positivity, fatherhood, fitness for sure, because I feel like fitness and you know, managing your money goes hand in hand. It's like, hey, you can be disciplined in fitness, you can be disciplined in money. You know, I feel like it works hand in hand.
Totally agree. Episode 164 is called Move Yourself Physically, Mentally, and Financially. And that was with Justine Miss Financial Fit. You guys might like that. Also, there's a ton of different, like I said, debt-focused Adulting Is Easy episodes. Episode 45 was about student loans. 126 is called Crying Over Debt to 1 Million Net Worth. Or episode 147 was 51K in debt and then getting out of it with house hacking with the debt-free guys. We've had, you mentioned Tom the Frugal Gay, he's been on twice. Brennan's been on. Like, you know, you guys can, if you love this episode, you can dig back in. Also, don't forget to follow me, Adulting Is Easy, on Twitter/X, Instagram at Adulting Is Easy Real. There's another problem. YouTube at Adulting Is Easy. You guys, thanks again for listening. Hopefully, Divine and I have made adulting a little easier for you.